Today we're going to be talking about dads that mirror the father. And so I want to start off by reading Proverbs 3, starting at verse 1. So if you'll stand, we'll honor God as we look at his word. This is written by Solomon, King David's son. And he says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son in whom he delights." Father, help our lives as men and women of God to be a reflection of your life. Father, work it into our hearts that we want to raise our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren for your glory. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. In the world of a little child, no word has more power than daddy. I can remember as a little boy rushing into a room, running as fast as I could towards my dad, and having him catch me in his arms, rustle my hair, throw me up all the way to the ceiling. Now, that's not much for an adult because the ceiling's right there. But for a little boy who's down here to almost touch the ceiling, that's strength, that's power. And we look to that. And when your dad is a loving dad, my dad was not a Christian man, a born-again man, but my dad loved his kids. And I got to tell you, we looked to him with respect and honor, and we all wanted to be just like dad. Now, later on as I grew and realized my dad wasn't a believer, after I became a believer, there were certain areas that I said, well, you know, my dad loved us and my dad was a good guy, but there are areas that maybe I can't be just like dad was. But that comes later, doesn't it? When we're little, dad takes a place in our heart almost like God, because a little child can't understand about God yet. A little child can't understand about hope and faith and all of that. It's way too complex. But a little boy or a little girl can certainly understand the love of a parent. And that's where faith in God begins to blossom. Because we say, somebody loves me. Somebody cares for me. Somebody's taking care of every need that I have. And then as we grow older, we begin to transfer that to our Heavenly Father. I hear so many Christians today tell me, well, the reason I'm the way I am is because of my dad or my mom or my aunt or somebody in the family. Folks, do you understand that when you receive Christ as Savior, you get a new father too? And if your normal human dad wasn't just like the Lord, or your normal human mother or aunt or whatever wasn't just the same, you now have the possibility to live different than they did. And it's a wonderful thing, because each generation, as we move closer to the Lord, the less the next generation has to move. When we got married, we were both unsaved. But about 4 years after we got married, we both received Christ as Savior. And our oldest child was only 1 year old when that happened. That meant we got to raise our children in a Christian church, taught them the things of the Bible, And they didn't have to move as far away from what we raised them as I did from my parents. Folks, no family is perfect. Your children are still going to grow up, no matter how close you try to walk with God, and they're going to say, I admire that, and I admire that, and I admire that about Dad and Mom, but there are some areas that I just don't think they quite got it right. Do you understand, parents, that our children, as they grow, you have to release them to follow God the way they think best? I've got a son right now that believes, and we're in the book of Galatians studying about why we're not under the law, but I have a son that believes that he should keep the law. He believes you receive Christ, and now you have to keep the law. Folks, I could harp on that boy all the day long, telling him why he doesn't have to. But I don't have to do that. He's got a heavenly Father. And so I keep my nose on my face. I pray for him. If he asks me a question, I'll be glad to show him. But I don't have to make decisions for him anymore. He's 50 years old, plus. We have to know when to release our children to their heavenly Father. They're not our little ones anymore when we're our age, most of us. Some of us still have a few little ones, but most of us, our kids, are pretty much grown or totally grown. And so we have to learn the difference. So in our children's eyes, especially when they're little, you take the place of God, Dad and Mom. You are the provider. You are the one that teaches them right from wrong. Later on, they're going to learn about the Lord, hopefully by the time they're 7, 8, 9, and they're going to realize there's somebody over my dad and mom. There's somebody that really makes the rules. I want to get to know that one. And that's the most exciting time. I don't know about you, but when my children one by one place their faith in Christ, that's the most exciting time for a Christian parent. To have your child transfer their primary relationship from you to the Heavenly Father. That's the goal. That's why God created marriage, so that you and I could raise our children to love and to know our Lord. Godly daddies always want the very best for their children. And there's nothing better for your children than to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Every other thing they come to, there's going to come a time when they're going to understand why God equipped me for this, and now I'm going to go into a vocation, whether that's nurse or doctor or lawyer or plumber or whatever it is. But that's not near as important, because that's short term. That's 40 or 50 years, and then your working years are done. The most important decision a boy or girl's ever going to make, or a man or woman in my case, because I was 25 when I got saved, is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Lord set out for the nation of Israel when he gave the law. A lot of people think the law of Moses is just the Ten Commandments. I hope you understand that's not true. The law started in Exodus chapter 20, and the law never finished until you got to the end of the book of Deuteronomy. There are hundreds of rules and regulations, not just 10. There's lots and lots. And one of the things the Lord wanted the children of Israel to know before they ever got into the promised land is how they can raise their children to know and love the Lord. And so he set it out in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. I want to read this to you. And as I read this, I want you to know we're not under the law today. So some of this stuff you're going to look at and say, well, I don't know if that's right for today. Well, no, some of it's not right for today. But the foundation is laid, 5 steps, how to help your child know how to come to faith in the Lord. So he says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What the Lord wants us to know, that he's setting out in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, 5 steps that every dad and mom should use in their homes to train their boys and girls to know and love the Lord. So today I want to speak on those 5 steps. Step number 1, if you're ever going to be able to lead your son and daughter to faith in Christ, step number 1, you need to know the Lord personally yourself. In Deuteronomy again, chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Growing up in a Christian nation, because although President Obama said this is no longer a Christian nation, guess what? The majority of the people do believe in Christ across, I'm not saying everyone's born again, but they do believe in Christ across our nation. Not all, but most. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt after 400 years of being slaves, they came out of a society much like what you run into in India today, of multiple gods and goddesses. India is Hindu primarily, and the Hindu religion has 10,000 plus gods. And so when the Lord said, "The Lord your God is one God," that was a shocking thing to many of those people, because they just came out of a society believed that men and women and all kinds of things were gods. The frogs were God, the cattle were God, everything is God. And you may laugh at that, but I hope you understand that in many of these lands, animals are still gods. It's just one of those things we have to understand, that not everybody believes like we do. What the Lord wants us to come to is to know that there's one God and one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That way we can teach our children the truth, because they're being taught all kinds of things by everybody else, and the Lord wants mom and dad to teach one thing. We serve one God, made up of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In John 17, verse 3, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Folks, there's no more important message for you to get to your children, and if you're fortunate enough to live as long as we have, your grandchildren, and now great-grandchildren. What a blessing it is to have the great-grandkids come over and be able to sing to them, "Jesus loves me." Folks, not every home does that. Not every home is led by godly moms and grandmas and grandpas and all the rest. But Lord willing, your home is. And you get the blessed privilege of sowing those seeds into those little hearts. Our God wants us to understand in Matthew 11:27, he says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." The natural man, the natural woman, your son and your daughter when they're born, do not know about God. And they will not know about God unless somebody preaches the gospel to them. Guess who's best equipped to do that? Mom and dad. They believe in you. They know you're the one that feeds them. They know you're the one that loves them and changes their diaper and does all the other things you do because of love. And if you tell them the simple truth, they're going to believe it. They're going to grow right up believing. So number one, if anyone here is going to be a godly dad or mother, you must know the Lord personally. Not just know about him, you have to receive him as your Savior. because you can't teach and give away what you don't have. You must know him. Number two, daddies must love the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul. So many people want to love the Lord, but just a little bit, because if I give my whole heart to him, then I'm going to have to do everything he wants me to do. And I've still got this sinful nature that wants to do what I want to do, and he doesn't want me to do it. You have to love him more than you love your sin. If you don't, your children will pick up on that real quick. We have to come to Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let me ask you a question. As you sit there today, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength? Or is he pretty much, I love him a whole lot, but I don't want to make a total commitment? Folks, Romans 12:1 and 2 is meant for you. Romans 12:1 and 2 says, "But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to approve what is God's good and pleasing and perfect will." You're never going to know God's love and his perfect will for you until you give him your whole heart. Half-hearted won't get it done. In fact, in Isaiah 29, verse 13, it says, the Lord says, these people, he's talking about the nation of Israel, these people come near me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is based merely on human rules they've been taught. I hope your walk with the Lord is a lot more than rules. We have things in our church that we say the Lord says this is right, this is wrong, and that's fine. Everybody needs to understand that. But I hope your relationship is far more than just those rules. I hope you walk with him in your heart. And I hope you'll love him with all your heart. Jesus was asked one time, what's the most important commandment of all that were given? And Jesus goes right back to this command in Deuteronomy 6:5. In Matthew 22, verse 36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Folks, your children need to know that you love them. But they need to understand there are two greater loves that you have than your love for them. Number one, you are to love their mother, men, more than you love your children. Women, you're to love your husband more than you love your children, because that's your first commitment. And then number two, more than you love your husband or your wife, you need to love the Lord. When your wife or your husband want you to do something contrary to what God wants you to do, where are your priorities then? It should be, I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. Yes, I know, honey, this is going to upset you, but I can't do what you're asking me to do. It's wrong. Folks, that happens sometimes, even in the best of marriages, even in Christian marriages. There has to come a time when you say, as much as I would like to do what you want, I can't. It's a choice everybody has to make. In John 14, verse 15, the love part is so important. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. Now again, we're not talking about the Old Testament here. We're talking now, we're moving into the New Testament times, and the commands did change. I want to inform you, 9 of the 10 commandments are given to the church. You still shouldn't commit adultery, you still shouldn't steal, you still shouldn't lie, and so on. The only commandment out of the 10 that is not for the church age is Sabbath day observance. But the other nine are repeated. And there's other commands in the New Testament that you never saw in the Old Testament. That's why it's so important to study the Word of God, so that you know, in my lifetime, this is what's pleasing to God. I can't please God by doing what Noah did in his lifetime. I can't please God by doing what Moses did in his lifetime. This is the church age, and we have to understand what God has for us. That's why the study of Galatians is so important. I can't encourage you enough. I've got extra books if you're interested. Galatians is going to set you free from the worry about keeping a list of rules, even the rules of the New Testament. You are not righteous by keeping any list of rules. You're righteous because you have faith in Jesus Christ, period. No comma, no additions, faith in Jesus Christ. That's all that's needed. In John chapter 14, verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. If you're ever going to get close to God and have him reveal himself to you in his power and majesty, you have to learn what the commandments are for today and seek to please him by obeying. And as you do those things, as you study the Bible, as you pray, and as you give thanks to God, God reveals himself. Then you can be a reflection to your children. If you're not doing those things, God is not going to reveal himself, and you may be a perfectly good parent. My dad was a good parent. He was. He spanked us when we needed it. He provided what we needed. It was wonderful. But he couldn't reveal Christ to us because, number one, he didn't know him. Number two, he didn't love him. So he couldn't do what he didn't have. That's why it's so important for you to make sure that, number one, you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Number two, that you love him with all your heart. Because when you love him, Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to automatically obey my commands. It isn't a list of rules and memorizing all the rules. It's loving him. And it's so important your children know who you love. In 1 Peter 3, verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. And so it's so important that you know Jesus Christ. Number three, godly daddies make God's commands, learn them, and place them in their hearts. You need to know what's for today. You need to be able to teach your children what's for today. Daddy, can I eat any meat I want to? Well, no, we have to keep the law. We can't have unclean food. You're teaching your children something that's not for today. We are free to eat any meat, the Bible says. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be teaching things that ought not to be taught. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. He wrote them on stone, but he wanted to write it on their heart. The commands that God gives you, God wants you to write them on your heart. Not just a list of 17 rules we got to keep, but God's precious promises. Every command the Lord gives us for today is for our good. It's for the good of our families. And as we know those things, his commands can take what God has recorded in his word, and as we get it into our heart, it becomes a natural thing, a loving thing. I don't keep any list of rules. I walk with God. That's the best way. Jesus said if we love him, we'll just naturally keep his commandments. It won't be a thing that you have to force yourself to. In Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers. For I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Folks, as you teach your children what the Lord tells them to do for our time, not the law anymore, but for our time, as you teach that, your children are going to have more understanding than many of their teachers. When they go to college, they're going to have more understanding than most of the teachers they're ever going to have in college. Why? Because they know God. Because they love God. Because they love God's commands for our time. They're going to know it in their heart, and they're going to walk in it, and they're going to be wise in God's eyes. Number four, daddies must teach and talk to their children about the commands of God. The commands, again, not the law, but the commands for today are to be taught. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Boy, it sounds like Dad ought to be talking about the Lord all day long, doesn't it? You know, that wouldn't be a bad thing, would it? Everything that happens in life, God wants you to use Dad as a teaching moment. When those children are little, every word you speak is wisdom to them. And as you see a caterpillar turn to a chrysalis, and then out comes a beautiful butterfly, there's no better time in the world than to teach your children. Johnny, Sally, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're going to be just like that butterfly. What do you mean? What do I mean? Sally and Johnny, do you understand that you're going to be born again just like that butterfly? You were one kind of creature going along in life. But when you receive Christ, you're going to be beautiful in God's sight. It's going to change you. The word metamorphosis, metamorpho in the Greek, talks about a complete change that happens within us. If you think back on your life before you received Christ, I literally swore every other word. That was my life. I gambled, I drank, I swore, I was into pornography. You think about all the things that we were all in. The day I got saved, things started changing. I think in the last 52 years that I've been a Christian now, if I've sworn a dozen times in 52 years, probably not that many. I used to do it every other word. I took the Lord's name in vain all the time. But when I got saved, He changed my heart. He changed my speech. He changed what I looked at. He changed what I would listen to. The old rock songs I used to love. Not anymore. No thanks. Nothing wrong with rock music. Some of it's okay. But some of it's terrible stuff. And you have to understand that, because if you don't, you're going to keep going the way you're going. In Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. But you, Dad and Mom, get a chance to take the wonderful things of nature and explain them to your children when they see a rainbow for the first time. Whoa, look at that! Dad, you get a wonderful chance to tell your children the story of Noah and the promise of God that He'll never flood the whole world again. That's a revelation of God. When they see a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset, you can explain that God created the sun. It's not something to be worshipped. It's a creation of God. When they see the stars, and you tell them about the stars, that there are literally billions and billions of galaxies and billions of stars in each one, and the God that we serve has a different name for every single one, and he never forgets. Folks, that'll impress your children. What kind of a God do I serve? When you cut your children's hair, you can say, well, there's one God doesn't have to number anymore. And they say, what do you mean? What I mean is, son or daughter, God knows every hair on your head all the time. Folks, that's impressive to children. God knows what I don't know. I know it's less than it used to be, but I don't know how many hairs I've got on my head. I couldn't count them. I don't know. God knows every second of my life. He's that intimately connected to every one of our children that he knows the numbers of hairs on their head. Folks, that means he knows everything about us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You've got an opportunity, mom and dad, when your children are little, to teach them about the Lord you're never going to have again. You get one shot at this thing. Don't waste the opportunities God provides. He's given you all of nature, and you can use nature as an explanation to your children of the greatness of the God that one day they will know. In Ephesians 6:4, he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. But if a dad, number one, doesn't really know the Lord, and a dad doesn't really love the Lord with all of his heart, the father's not only going to exasperate his children, he's going to exasperate himself. Because if you try to follow the Lord without loving the Lord, you're going to become resentful. Love is the key to this whole thing. It holds it all together. Do you know what the best indicator of violent crime in a family is? They've done a lot of research on this over the years. It's not the amount of money that a family makes. It's not the education the children are receiving. It's not even the care they're receiving from mom and dad. The number one indicator is a family without a physical father in the home. 15 million children in our nation today are growing up in a home where there's never been a father. Folks, that's a dangerous mixture. When you read about the people that are doing the most violent crimes, if you check in their background, most of the time you're going to find a dad that wasn't there. Dads are meant by God to be restrainers. And when the dad's not there, there's trouble brewing. Number five, daddies must show their children that in their house, God's word is honored. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 8, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, we don't normally do that today. They used to have a little band they would wear around their head. It was a little bottle that had the Ten Commandments written in it. And they would wear that on their head. On the door frames of their house, they would have scripture verses written. Most of us don't do that. But in your house, do you have Bible verses displayed? In your house, do you encourage Bible memorization by your children? Is there a time of prayer in your house? All those things are so important for children to learn. Do your children see a living faith in you, Dad? Because Hebrews 11, verse 6 says it very clearly. Without faith, in other words, if it isn't a faith you have in yourself, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek them. When you look at the five things we talked about today, you know the first two your children can't see at all? They can't see. Each of these are steps built one on another. They can't see in your heart if you truly know the Lord. They can't see in your heart if you truly love the Lord. But they can see the other three steps that have to be built on that foundation. You can't go to step 3, 4, and 5 without having 1 and 2 in place. It doesn't work that way. Children need to know that Daddy and Mommy both know and love the Lord. They try to obey Him. Mommy and Daddy will tell me, "I really messed up. I'm sorry. Forgive me." Folks, it's so important to admit to your children when you mess up. Don't let them think Daddy's perfect, because Daddy's not perfect, and neither is Mommy. We make mistakes. We say things we wish we hadn't. Ask your children to forgive you. There's nothing wrong with that. It's an admission that you're what? You're human. We're not going to be perfect till we get home to heaven. Let your children know that, because they'll respect you all their life long, because you didn't try to act like you were perfect. We're not. But in the midst of that, be sure that you love the Lord. Be sure that His commands that are for today are in your heart. Not just a rule, you got to do this because God said so. You got to do this because you love God, and this is what pleases God. When you raise your children that way, they're going to grow up to be strong Christian believers. They're going to love the Lord. They're going to know the Lord. They're going to raise their families that way. Maybe they won't stay Baptist. Would that be the worst thing that ever happened if one of your children didn't stay Baptist? Suppose they went to the Methodist church. Oh, wouldn't that be something? If it was a godly Methodist church, I'd praise the Lord. If it was a godly Nazarene church, I'd praise the Lord. If it's a godly Pentecostal, I'd praise the Lord. Do I agree with everything all those churches believe? No, I don't. But they're godly churches. They teach the Word of God. Lutheran church, I'd be pleased. My two older brothers are Lutheran, and they love the Lord. Folks, it's not the name on the door. I want to stress this again, because so many people get this so confused. There were no Baptists at the time of Jesus Christ. There were no Lutherans. There were no Catholics. There were no Methodists. There were no Presbyterians. All that is man-made. What's not man-made is people of the way. People that became Christians in the early church were called people of the way. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." And so, Dad, as you're sitting here today, and young men, as you're thinking about maybe having children someday, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you can't know the Father if you don't know the Son. Do you love Him with all your heart? Those things are so important. Are His commands in your heart? Are you living them day by day? Because that's what's going to make the difference for your family. Father, we're grateful for Your Word. We're grateful for Your commands. They're not laws anymore for us, but they are commands, things we ought to be doing. But Lord, when we fall short, and we all do, give us the grace to admit it. To admit it to our children, to admit it to ourselves, and to confess it to You. Because then, Lord, as we're going to learn next week, we get a do-over. What a blessing it is to walk with You. Father, we're thankful for Father's Day. We're thankful for the fathers that are walking with You. And we'll give You the praise now in Jesus' holy name. Amen.